verses 10 through 12. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then from the New Testament, Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, the testing of Jesus. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tested by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. He said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord of your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be truly acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. John Smith was the only Protestant to move into a large Catholic neighborhood. And on the first Friday of Lent, John was outside getting a big, juicy steak on his grill. Meanwhile, all of his neighbors were eating cold tuna fish for supper. And this went on each Friday during Lent. And on that last Friday of Lent, the neighborhood men got together, and they decided that something just had to be done about John. He was just tempting them to eat meat each Friday, and they couldn't take it anymore. They decided that they would try and convert him to Catholicism. And they went over and they talked with him and were so happy that he decided to join all of his neighbors and become Catholic. And they took him to church, and the priest sprinkled some water over him and said, "You were born a Baptist, you were raised a Baptist, and now you are Catholic." And the men of the neighborhood were so relieved. Now their biggest Lenten temptation was resolved. Well, the next year's Lent rolled around, and the first Friday of Lent came, and just at supper time, when the neighborhood was settling down to their grilled fish dinners, came the wafting smell of steak cooking on the grill. And the neighborhood men couldn't believe their noses. What was going on? And they called each other up and decided to meet over in John's yard to see if he had forgotten that it was Friday in Lent. And the group arrived just in time to see John standing over the grill with a small pitcher of water. He was pouring small droplets over the steak on the grill, saying, "You were born a cow, you were raised a cow, but now you're a fish." We began the season of Lent last Wednesday with ashes and communion. And for the next 6 weeks, we are on a journey along many roads that will ultimately take us to Jerusalem and the cross. The 40 days of Lent are symbolic of the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness, as I explained to the children, where he was being tempted by the evil one. But before we get to that road that led him into the wilderness, we're going to recall a different journey, one that took place over 12 centuries earlier. And that journey was led by Moses, who shepherded the children of Israel to freedom, passing through the waters of the Red Sea, across the wilderness to the Promised Land. And Jesus' story has a similar parallel. He passed through the waters of baptism before the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness, where he spent 40 days and nights fasting and praying. And in this weakened state, Satan appears with some mighty temptations. If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And in spite of fasting for 40 days, Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." So Satan tries another tactic and takes Jesus to the holy city, to the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Well, Jesus doesn't fall for that one either, and answers, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And finally, the devil took Jesus to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. "All this I will give you if you will bow down and worship me." Now, I think it's interesting that Satan believes that he has this power, that he thinks he is more powerful than God. But Jesus didn't fall into that trap either. And he said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve God only." And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. The children of Israel came to their wilderness experience out of bondage in Egypt. Jesus walked the wilderness road, coming from the glory of a heavenly Father. He didn't really need to go through the temptation and the trial, but it prepared him for what lay ahead. It also revealed to us the human side of Jesus. Jesus understood that he was to face hardship and rejection, betrayal, desertion, and eventually suffering and death on a cross. His encounter with the devil prepared him for what was to take place, and the outcome would make the ordeal worth it. As much as the Israelites complained about their experiences in the wilderness, ever since that time, God's people have always looked back on the Exodus as the high point of the Old Testament. It was there in the wilderness that God molded them from a cowering collection of slaves into a mighty nation. It was there that God gave them the Ten Commandments and taught them the importance of living by them. It was there they learned to rely on the Lord their God and to worship God alone. Baptism does not call us to a comfortable isolation, cloistered by the font. Baptism calls us out into the world where there are needs and wants, challenges and opportunities. The wilderness into which the Holy Spirit leads us by the Lenten road is the world with all its temptations that can lure us to turn from our God and seek our own will rather than the divine one. Temptation has a way of doing that, of focusing our attention on what we want, the same kinds of wealth, fame, and power that Jesus was offered by the tempter, who is a formidable foe. Fortunately, we do not travel this Lenten road alone. Jesus Christ goes with us. Jesus Christ leads us in the paths of righteousness, showing us every step of the way what is the will of God. And Jesus obeyed the will of God obediently so that we might have salvation. Beginning with his baptism in the Jordan River and continuing into the wilderness where temptation waited, all the way to a cross on Calvary. We live in a wilderness world where temptation lurks and preys upon our spirits. Jesus has shown us how to stare down the tempter and find the road that God wants us to walk. We are God's children, so we join our Savior down this wilderness road, wherever it leads. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.